Good afternoon, brethren. We're here today gathered on God's Sabbath to take in His Word and let His Holy Spirit work in us to develop His character in us. Most of us, if not all of us, have watched game shows. How many have watched game shows? How many like game shows? Okay. Let's make a deal. The Price is Right. Sometimes. Granted, it was for fun, with the possibility of winning something, some pretty awesome prizes. Yet with the downsides of losing it all, being zonked, as they call it, by making a wrong choice. You would start out by being chosen to guess a product's price. Should you be successful, you would move on to the next phase and play other games to see if you could win even more prizes or even money. Everybody likes money, right? Well, then the big payoff, or should I say playoff, would begin with having to decide to choose between, let's make a deal, three different curtains. What would be behind them in order to make the final playoff? And the grand prize was behind door number one, door number two, or was it behind door number three? Of course, this is only a game. We all have choices to make. If you want a title, call it choices. Yet we're faced with making many difficult decisions or choices every day of our lives. Our journey to the kingdom of God is not a game. We indeed must make life and death decisions, choices along the way. As a matter of fact, mankind was introduced to choices from the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Let us start at the beginning. I remember years ago, Mr. Armstrong said, let's start at the beginning, and let's do that. Let's go to Genesis 1. Let's start in verse 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Well, let's drop down to chapter 2 now, verses 7 to 9. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. A man became a living being. It's almost like when you give breath, somebody passed out, you want to breathe them into the air, you know. So the Lord planted a garden in eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord made every tree to grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the garden, in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Drop down to verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not one found, a helper comparable to him. And the Lord said, the Lord caused a great sleep to come on Adam, and he slept. And he, God, took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from man he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. So far, so good, right? Well, then we come to chapter 3, where things begin to get really confused. There, the serpent, Revelation 12:19, I'll just read that. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. He, Satan made choices. Back in Ezekiel 28:17, I know it's here. It says, talking about Satan, God says, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground, and I laid you before kings that they might gaze on you. Satan made a decision to leave God, to leave his realm. So he was there in the Garden of Eden with the first humans. This is where the choices became a matter of life and death. The result is as follows in chapter 3. Satan enters. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. It's a blatant lie, you know. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate. She made a choice, a deadly choice. She also gave some to her husband, and he ate, and he made that same choice. When the eyes of both of them were opened, they knew that they were naked. And they sewed together fig leaves together to make coverings for themselves. And they heard a sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I can imagine this very beautiful garden, and it's nice, just pleasant, you know. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? He didn't call Eve. He called Adam. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you shall not eat? Then the man made another choice, to blame somebody. The woman who you gave me to be with me, she gave me the tree and I ate. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, I will curse you more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you should go, and you should eat dust all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And the woman, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. I will, in pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam, because of this choice, because you heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles shall be in it, and bring forth both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the earth, until you die. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. God's patient with us. He really is. Yes, Adam and Eve made choices, deadly choices. How about us? Throughout God's Word, the Bible, we are given choices for life. Please turn with me, if you would, please, to Deuteronomy 30. We're going to read 15 through 20. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But, if your heart turns away, so that you do not hear and are drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you go to cross over the Jordan to go in. And it says, excuse me, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to live. Yes, again, the God, our God, is patient with us, desiring that we all be in his kingdom. 2 Peter 9. Just turn your. Second Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Brethren, in our Christian life is not a TV game show. It's not something behind curtain number one, curtain number two, or curtain number three, or at the spin of a wheel, like Wheel of Fortune. It's a matter of life and death. So please, let's choose life. And again, let's turn, I'll just read it, Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live.